All right, let's take you back to last week one more time. Let's take you back to Washington Mardi Gras. On the way home, ran into State Senator Beth Mizell and wanted to get her take and her stories from what went down in Washington Mardi Gras. Senator Mizell, good morning. How are you this morning?
I'm great, Brian. I haven't got the flu that a lot of people came home with, so I'm thankful for that.
I don't have the flu, but I've definitely got something bronchial. I am coughing during every break. Something got spread around up there for sure.
A lot of shared air, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
right. So, no, it was a great, it was a great event, even in the midst of the traveling difficulties.
Yeah, everybody had definitely had a travel story getting up there. But once we got there, I mean, it was kind of condensed. A lot of the networking that goes on Wednesday or Thursday got squeezed into Friday and Saturday. But nonetheless, there was a lot of business to tend to, a lot of relationships to catch up on, and business to talk about. So, talk about a little bit about what your Washington Mardi Gras looked like.
Well, I left from Jackson, okay, mm-hmm. So that kind of threw me off. So I was able to catch a flight from Jackson, and it was important to me to get there for Thursday morning because a group led by Marie Centani was having a lovely tea at the Willard in honor of the Legislative Women's Caucus. So I really wanted to be there for that. I made it. Kellyanne Conway was the speaker. And it was well attended, so that was the kickoff, really, to my time up there. You know what? I have found from the time I was newly elected and kind of felt that this was a big party thing, and I'm not a partier, so it's like I'm not a lot of fun at stuff like this. But my first event, Brian, I stood at the elevator bank at the Hilton.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when Congressman Abraham was my congressman. And within 15 minutes of mingling with people in front of the elevators, I've gotten the commitment on broadband. So that sold me on the value of Washington Mardi Gras for networking and for, those touch points that get what we need back home. So and it was kind of like that this time. You know, I would stand at the elevator a lot of the time. Ran into like the secretary of LDH or the secretary of DEQ. Let's fix a problem I've got back in my district. Bam, you know. So that's kind of the tone that it took, I think.
I completely agree. And I don't know if, for those who've never been, it's hard to describe just how everything converges all in one. You know, you mentioned the elevator bank. It's on one side of that elevator bank, you got the restaurant bar area, the sidecar. And then on the other side, you got the 65th Parish, which people are always pouring out of there as well. It's just the mass of humanity that just goes through that lobby on a minute-by-minute basis is you see so many folks, you grab so many folks just to, you know, have, like you said, that touch point.
Right, it is. And you know, when you talked to me about the interview, I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, I hadn't really pinned it down. You know, I got home Sunday, and I immediately made a long list of everything I wanted to move on based on conversations I'd had there. But looking at the subjects, it went from, you know, I have an Irish Trade Commission that we started last year with Louisiana. I got a contact to get me to the Irish ambassador at the embassy in D.C. So that was a huge thing. We had early childhood discussed by several different people that were influential in moving that forward. Charter school conversations. I've got a great charter school in my district and got some good support from that as they're expanding. It was just, I think it's hard to explain it, you know, and I tell people who've never been that it's undescribable, but you can make it a real opportunity, or you can make it a party. And I think it's certainly a social event, but the opportunities to really put some policy value in there is everybody's ready for that. I think you don't ever get anybody that says, oh, I don't want to talk about that right now. I'm having a drink. No, it's not the way it is at all. Everybody's open to whatever avenue of policy that they can help you with. And I think that's a great thing. I don't know if any of the states in the country have anything even remotely like this.
I don't think they could. I think we're unique in that respect, that everything we do is built off of relationships. And a lot of relationship is having a little bit of FaceTime there. And, you know, even if it's something as quick as a handshake or a bro hug in the hallway, it's a reminder that you got to touch base and follow up. And that's it's the follow up is a big part of this. You mentioned you got home, you put together that list, and you mentioned a few of the items within it right there. It's where do you go from there? How do you take what you do at Washington Mardi Gras and make it into reality? How do you take those dreams / plans and turn them into something that might become legislation in the next session?
Well, I mean, an example is I've got my Irish Trade Commission chairman, and we're taking the Irish Consul General to meet with Susan Bourgeois this morning. So, you know, and so now we can further that step by step. There's some, we could talk about that. Pat Shingleton, I'm sure you know, he's the chairman. He is just awesome, and he's taken this and run with it. And we have some incredible opportunities for trade with Louisiana between Ireland and ourselves. So I'm hoping that we can really make some positive happen quickly on that. And, you know, for instance, Congresswoman Letlow, I sat by her at the economic development luncheon, and we were able to talk about early childhood education, getting more federal support for early childhood education. That's an incredible opportunity for us to have a real conversation about that. So knowing how supportive she is, there's enough stakeholders in particular policy questions like that, that when you let the stakeholders know, we've got a powerful person who is on appropriations that's interested, then we can take the next steps from there. And I think there's a lot of that. Just putting the right people together.
Absolutely. We're talking with State Senator Beth Mizell about her her recap of Washington Mardi Gras. Senator Mizell, I'm going to want to follow up on the early childhood with Julia Letlow because I've got a rather serendipitous story on the back end of that. But let's hammer down on this Irish trade piece right here. What would we be trading with Ireland? Are you deep enough? Are you in the weeds enough to know like what specifically we're going after?
Well, you know, they desperately need our LNG. And I think that, you know, that's an open-ended conversation. But, you know, there's opportunities with, I can tell you, on the commission, we have someone from Pennington. We have someone from Tulane. We have Mr. Crabtree from the World Trade Center in New Orleans. So you've got all these different channels of opportunity in the conversation. So, yeah, we're going to see. I'm anxious to talk to the Consul General today and mm-hmm. see what they're most open to. But we have a lot of energy, number one, but we've also got a lot to offer. And I think they're very receptive as to what we could provide for them and likewise. So it's a conversation we've just started, but we've got some really engaged people as part of it.
Well, I mean, I was going to make the cheap joke about, we do our fair share of drinking over here and they make the Guinness and the Jameson for sure. But if I'm being honest, you look at the landscape of Dublin right now and their investment into the tech sector is kind of similar to what we're seeing map out here in Louisiana as well. I'm wondering if there's a way to cross those streams.
I think that the Senate President of Ireland has really been the motivation behind a lot of this. We have a legislative Irish caucus. We have the Trade Commission. And that was all really instigated by conversations I've had with him. He had a legislative delegation in Dublin a few years ago that I was really fortunate to attend. And the number of American companies that are putting headquarters in Dublin, it's remarkable. And when I asked the economic development person in Dublin, why is that? I remember it made me really mad because he smiled and he said, we have 37% of our working age group from 25 to 45 are college educated. And that is incredible. I mean, that is that's a huge number, and he was pretty smug about it. So I don't know what they're doing that's allowing that to happen, but 37%, you know, a lot of my district is, you know, we have able-bodied people that are 46% not working.
Right.
And so that there's a really opportunity to have a shift here and to make some connections. So I think we got a lot in common. You're right, but there's some strong economic sectors that we could participate in that we're not right now.
See, he could be smug, but when you add the accent, it makes it palatable.
Oh, yes. You're so right. Yes. It's charming, even when he's smug. Yes. Yeah, you're right.
What was the conversation with Julie Letlow about with early childhood education? What angle did that take? Because I feel like legislation might be coming there.
Oh, well, we just need money, yeah. Brian. Okay. It's pretty straightforward. We need money from the feds because, you know, we're not giving them I'll throw another number at you. Did you know 54% of the babies born in Louisiana are born to single women? So a single woman with a baby, unless she has child care, we're perpetuating the cycle of poverty. If she can't go to work or go to school, which is what child care is limited to, you know, for federal help with child care, you have to either be in school or going to work.
Yep.
So if you're not offering that to the single mothers of Louisiana who seek it, you're perpetuating the cycle of poverty that we've seen that we're all tired of.
So we've heard the story a number of times in Baton Rouge about how that is one of the biggest hindrances to our current workforce is the lack of child care availability. I did not realize the number was that stark.
Well, especially for women. And,
right.
You know, I've talked to economic development, and even with the Meta Center, at the Meta Center, we're basically saying it's thousands of jobs, but unless you're having child care, it's only jobs for men, which is great, but let's not be naive and think that we're offering it across the board if there's no child care.
State Senator Beth, I'm looking at the clock. We are just straight up out of time. Okay, let me give you the condensed version. While you were sitting with Julia Letlow at the Economic Development Luncheon, I was broadcasting live from her hospitality suite. She actually got up and left a couple minutes early. She excused herself.
She told me when she left she had to go see you. I mean, talk to you. Yes.
It all converges. It all converges.
She is absolutely lovely. And you also spoke to my sheriff, Jason Smith.
Yes, I did. Yes, I did. And we got Weibel on as well.
I replayed it. It was great.
Oh, no, he's a rock star in the making for sure.
He is. He absolutely is.
I don't
so
know how District
there.
5, through all the Washington Mardi Gras coverage, District Congresswoman Letlow's district, between the sheriff, between John Weibel, and then heading up to Monroe to talk to their mayor as well. I mean, it just, hey, y'all came out smelling like roses. The roses that were all over Julia Letlow's suite.
I love it.
Senator Mizell, I want to follow up. Oh, good. Go ahead.
No, I said I just appreciate your time. So just we have an opportunity, I always enjoy. I told my sheriff, you're going to like Brian. He's a good guy. You don't have to worry about him.
I appreciate that greatly. And let me know you and I are going to follow up on this Irish Trade Commission because I went in on these conversations. I'm intrigued, to say the least. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay, take care.
All right, you too. Bye-bye. Thanks a million.